You okay?
No. I wonder how our little submariners are doing now that we've got to port.
I'm sure they're doing fine. They learned a lot this week.
Oh, yeah. Like how they learn to see below the surface just like a submarine.
Yeah.
And not to judge people by how they look, but by what's on the inside, huh?
Exactly. Like how Zacchaeus was just a simple tax collector and...
Stay. Okay.
And how even he needed to see how Jesus was the salvation. And then how the woman at the well, like everyone knew she was a sinner, but Jesus saw her true worth.
That's right. Oh, and remember that time they learned about Nicodemus, how he seemed like he had like all the right answers,
yeah.
But then like even he needed Jesus' help to find out eternal life, what that was.
Yeah. Man. And then all the kids got to learn a motto this week that Jesus sees, Jesus knows, and Jesus saves.
Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah. No matter how bad we mess up, right?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
So, what's in that box you have?
Oh, just some memories of our awesome adventures that I will show you.
Ooh.
So, do you remember that time like I introduced you to my seahorse?
That's right.
His name is David.
Oh.
Yes. Ooh, I got another one you might like. Remember that time I found that dolphin?
Oh, yeah.
That was fun. Ooh. And remember that time I saved you from that giant octopus with
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Oh, with my sea cucumber? Yeah. Ugh. Ooh, and you remember that time I found my porpoise?
No, it's your purpose. You found your purpose.
Right. Oh, yeah. And I even have Grandma's reminder to go to the orthodontist. See? Yeah.
Man, those were good memories.
Good memories, yeah.
But... what's that green stuff in there?
Ooh, yeah, you see, I was doing some gardening while we were at sea, and I had to pull some seaweeds, so that's just a reminder.
No, let's just go back to Captain Ironheart and tell him what we learned this week.
Okay.
Seaweeds.
Hey, just because I have them and you don't doesn't mean you need to be mean.
Well, wasn't that great? They did a great job. That was great. Super. I think the thing about finding my porpoise, that was a little, yeah. That for you pun people, that was great, I'm sure. Well, as you can tell, we're into kids. We really, as a part of our community here, is a big emphasis of what we do is toward kids and young people. And we really want to thank you for a lot of you participated, and especially for those of you that sent your kids or prayed for this Bible school, and also a lot of you gave and have been really generous in kids, in our kids' ministries, because so much of what we do is involved in that. I want you to take a moment, if you would. I'd like you to just remember a face for me, would you? Just kind of bring that face up to yourself of somebody when you were a kid, a person, at least one, who, or maybe you're a youth, who was a blessing to you. Somebody who, by blessing, I mean somebody who did what they did something to help you come to Jesus, help you know something about Jesus. So just think about somebody in your life. Maybe it was a grandma, or maybe it was a neighbor, or somebody in the early service. It was a school bus driver that took a bunch of guys surfing and then would bring them to church. But I'd like you to just think of that, kind of get in your mind that a picture, that kind of remember that face of that person who was a blessing. Maybe it's just one thing they said to you. I don't know. So anybody think of somebody like that was a blessing to you when you were a kid or a youth? They were a blessing in your life. Okay, hang on a sec. Mike? So how was someone a blessing to you when you were a...
I never forgot Kenny McEwen. He was a Sunday school teacher, and I still visit him to this day. He was just incredible. I wasn't really plugged into the Lord. I was listening, but I brought back to remembrance all the things that he had told me and taught me, and it was a delight to be with him. Loved the Lord. Oh, he's just crazy about Jesus. He still is, and he's in a home now, and I still just, he's bright and shiny as ever.
And he didn't have to do that, but here he was. He wasn't your relative or anything, but he did that. Okay, somebody else that was a blessing to you, somebody that stands out in your mind that they didn't maybe have to do it, but they did it. Go ahead, Carol.
It was a lady named Mrs. Mill, and when we were kids, she lived probably about 10 miles out further than we did, and she stopped every Sunday and every Wednesday and picked us up to go to Sunday school on Sunday and then to kids' study on Wednesday nights, and she was a real blessing to me.
Isn't that great? Wow, and here it is 10 years later, and now and you're still serving Jesus, okay? Awesome. All right, somebody else, okay? Here, let me come over there. Okay, I'll do her, and then I'll come to you.
It was our school bus driver, Stanley, and he was also the one who told us about Jesus and would come and pick us up and take us to Sunday school and church.
Wow, so there you go, another bus driver. Who'd have thunk it? All right.
It was our grandparents. They would come pick us up every Saturday afternoon, and we'd stay the night, and they'd take us to church and Sunday school with them every Sunday morning. They were very faithful. Their prayers have really carried us through.
Awesome. That's great. Okay. Somebody else. Somebody that blessed you when you were a kid or maybe a youth. All right. Anybody? Maybe one more. Somebody that remembers that. Just think about that face, you know, that person. And I appreciate you guys actually naming their names, too, because I think that's really powerful. That was somebody that's not forgotten. Anybody? Okay. Okay, I'm coming back here.
Growing up in church, Brother Jim would always take a handful of kids out to get ice cream after service and continue to preach to them and talk with them and just, you know, continue bringing them to Jesus.
Ice cream. There you go. Over ice cream. All right. Go
ahead. Doug Kennedy, he would come to the school on a lunch break and talk to us about Jesus. He was the one that also baptized me. And he also affiliated our wedding because he was such a powerful impact on my life.
Awesome. That's great. Okay. I had, I grew up in my family. My mom died when I was 10. So my family kind of had this big earthquake event. And the wheels just kind of came off of our life. And so our family was just kind of in chaos. And I had a fifth grade school teacher. So kudos to you school teachers. And she was a believer, and she had only been teaching school for a couple years, but she kind of took me and a couple other kids, too, under her wing. And but me, especially, because my life was so messed up at that time, my family was kind of falling apart, she took me with her mom and her sister and her brother on a 10-day vacation to California, to Disneyland, and the whole deal. I mean, and I was a rotten little kid. I mean, I wouldn't have took me, okay? But she went ahead and did it. And, you know, Danny, I'm sorry, I wasn't that impressed with Disneyland. But I was impressed with these Christian people because the very first time I ever really heard the gospel, we were sitting around a campfire, and they were just talking about Christ, and I asked a few questions, and then they shared the gospel with me, and I didn't become a Christian then, but it had a huge impact on my life, and I don't know that anybody without that kind of investment would have really been able to share with me on that level. And when I did finally become a Christian years later, she came up, flew up from Tennessee just to make sure it was legit, okay, because she was having a hard time believing it, all right, so You know, I just want to tell you, it's the investment in kids is a big part of what we do. It's interesting to notice in our country, there's all this conflict and all this political turmoil, all this labeling of people. And one of the sad things, if you look at history, the American Christians have been more focused on the political spectrum for the last 35 years than any time in their history. And yet, the more what happened was the more focused we became, the less focused we were on something else. And the less focused we were on evangelism, on really reaching out and sharing the gospel and loving people in that way. And tons of treasure and lots of resources and energy has been thrown into one cause or the other. But what the cause that has failed is the failure to invest in sharing the good news with people. And you know what? How's that worked out? Not well. The fact is that every year since 1980, the number of people that have been coming to the Lord, the number of kids has just gone like this. You know, it's because you can't focus on too many. Now, I'm an equal opportunity witnesser. I don't care whether you're a liberal or a conservative, whatever. I'm just going to tell you about Jesus and let God sort it all out. That's where I'm coming from. I think the gospel is what's going to change people. And by the way, I think that what's really going to change our country is not more politics, but more Jesus. And what's going to really turn things around for us is how people, the more people come to know Christ, how much would 10 million people come in and know Jesus and really having their lives change over time is going to make a difference. It's subtle because it's like Jesus said, it's like leaven in a lump of bread, you know, in a lump of dough. It takes a while, but it happens. And I just want to tell you that, you know, the amazing thing is about kids' ministries, why we're so into it, because all across all the studies, three out of four people come to faith in Jesus by the time they're 18. So a lot of our resources, the vast majority of this particular church's resources are, you know, time and energy and funding goes into ministering to kids, young people, and families that are related to them. That's kind of our focus. You know, as a matter of fact, this church actually started 49 years ago in the park that we're going to go have our picnic. And guess what they were doing down there? They're having a vacation Bible school. It started with a kids' ministry. And so I really feel like one of the sad things that's happened in the last 35 years, did you know that church after church and denomination after denomination has quit really trying to actively reach out to kids and to young people? They just don't do it. And yet we're doing all this stuff. And so I appreciate so many of you that have contributed, because after this, then we have soccer camp. That's next week, right? And so all these great soccer players we have, they're going to have all these kids come and they're going to learn soccer. They're going to get to share the Lord with them. And then after that, we have our kids camp, where if you didn't notice, we go up in the mountains with a bunch of kids and maybe some of your kids. And we are our youth that have trained, there are Yes Team that Danny trains and a bunch of other people. You notice that in our Bible school, a lot of youth were in there working with kids. Well, those are the kids that have been training to work with all these younger kids. That's part of what we do, is we provide these camps and Bible school. They can come to know the Lord, and then they're going to, these other kids, as they grow in the Lord, they're going to learn how to give something back. That's part of our ministry matrix that we do. And then we'll have youth camp when we get done with that, and then we'll all collapse, okay, after that, right? Amen, brother. Okay. But it's so much fun. And so thank you so much for your investment. And that doesn't include what we do during the year with Awanas and youth groups and all kinds of stuff. We value kids. We want to be a blessing to kids, because we really realize that your kids, your grandkids, your neighbor kids, and you notice that some of these people, they were influenced by people like you. They weren't, you know, that bus driver wasn't their relative. They just was somebody that loved Jesus and loved kids and wanted to share the gospel with them, and God blessed that. And so I want to talk to you today just a few minutes about, if you're going to follow Jesus, then one of the things that you've got to do is you've got to be willing to be a blessing like Jesus. If we want to, you know, the whole purpose of what Jesus came to do in our lives is to make us more like him. And Jesus blessed kids. And so I wanted to just take a few minutes before we go to show you, I'm just going to give you four things, way that you can start right now being a blessing to children. And in being a blessing to children, being intentional about this, you can be like Christ. And so, you know, I want to tell you that not all Christians are really open to being a blessing to children. Not all Christians are. A lot of times, even the early disciples, you know, those early disciples, these parents were doing something really awesome. They were like you, like a lot of you parents. You brought your kids or your grandkids or your neighbor kids, and you wanted to bring them someplace where they could encounter Jesus, where they could be touched by Jesus in some way. And that was happening in Jesus' day, and Jesus' disciples were like, oh, no, you kids aren't important. You know, what? You got that? You're all good? Okay. You guys quit playing video games back there, okay? The disciples, those 12 guys that are supposed to be spiritual guys, weren't thinking. And what they did was they told those parents, get the kids out of here. Jesus is important. We've got important people that need to be paid attention to, adults. As a matter of fact, did you know that most churches do not minister to kids because they set up their ministries and their programs to meet the desires of the paying patrons? The paying patrons are the adults. And so they demand that they have their way. And little kids don't really lay down the bucks. They're great investments in the kingdom, but they don't pay the bills. And so churches get away from this. And so Jesus' disciples were like, look, we got important people to deal with, and Jesus doesn't have time for you bringing your kids in here for him to touch. And you know what Jesus did? Jesus showed very quickly the first thing that we've got to do if we're going to be a blessing to kids, we've got to value them. We've got to value kids. And that, you got to value them. And listen, look at what Jesus said. He said, let me get here where I got both hands. Turn my Bible here. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And by the way, the word indignant here means really mad. Jesus did get angry about things. He was really mad, and he said to them, permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. He valued them so much that when he saw these people, his own guys, getting in the way, he was mad at them, and he rebuked them. You know what happens when you value something? You see it. You start to see it. You start to notice it. So like, I said in the other service that somebody I knew was getting into VW Beetles, you know, the old cars. And he said, you know, you never see them anymore. And he said, would you look around for them? And he said, I'm going to look for them around. And pretty soon we called each other and we said, you know, they're everywhere. You guys ever notice that? When you start to value something, all of a sudden your brain kind of zeroes in and, hey, there's one. Man, people are driving those old clunkers everywhere. And you know, when you begin to value kids, you'll all of a sudden begin to notice them. Jesus noticed these kids because they were important to him. As a matter of fact, he said, he was angry at him. He said two things. He said, permit them, so bring them to me. And then secondly, don't hinder them. So let me ask you, what are some ways that as adults we can hinder kids from coming to Christ? What are ways that we can get in the way? We can hinder them. We don't stop them, but we just get in the way. We hinder them. Anybody? Go ahead. Okay, so being a bad example, inconsistency. Like you're just, you know, you're talking about Jesus and they're like, you're like, you know, can't you see we're on our way to church to learn about God? You know, that can happen very easily. Okay, and it's a wonder any of our kids believe, right? You know? But that's really important that we have a believable walk with God. And when we see things in our lives that are not really the way they ought to, that we deal with them. But you know what the most common way that we hinder? Indifference. You just don't care. And so you don't care enough to make sure they get there. You know, I have a parent of a junior higher say to me one time, the kid's like 13. He said, you know, I keep telling him he needs to go to church, but, you know, he never seems to show up. I go, he lives 10 miles away and he doesn't drive. How's he supposed to get here, you know? He's 5 years old. You know, he's driving down 505 with his trike, you know, to get to got to get to church, you know. Look, you're just indifferent. You don't make sure that they get here. This is your deal. The other thing is a lot of times it's just indifference to something simple, like making sure they get paid for to go to camp, or that the resources are there for kids to go to camp. Or maybe you're indifferent, so you don't really want to be involved in different kinds of ways of serving them. See, we get in the way not because we did anything wrong, but because we didn't do anything right. Maybe you just are indifferent to their spiritual walk, to not really sitting down with them and saying, let's shut the video game off and talk about what's really going on with you. The second way that we can value kids is we can follow them. And that sounds weird because most of us would say, you know, they're supposed to follow us. You know, we're supposed to be good examples, like was said, but they're supposed to follow us. And that is true, but did you know that Jesus says something different? He says, you guys can learn something from these kids. As a matter of fact, this is what he says. Go ahead and bring up that verse. He says that, truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all. Now, Jesus does not say you have to receive the kingdom as a child. You have to receive it like a child. The kingdom means you. What it means to be a part of the kingdom, to be saved, means you've come under the kingship of Christ. You're under his rule. That he's not just your little buddy or your little, you know, spiritual spare tire you can pull out. He's actually the king of your life. And for that to happen, you have to follow the kid's example, which is you have to be like them. And what are kids like? Well, I really feel like what Jesus is saying is kids, not childishness, but childlikeness in the good sense, is that they are humble. So kids are teachable. They're willing to say, I need help. I can't handle this. Somebody help me here, right? And then kids are also believing. They're trusting. And so if you are ever going to really come into the kingdom under the rule of Christ, you've got to come humble, like, God, I really need you. I need your forgiveness. I need your strength. And God, I believe that you will forgive me because of the cross. And I believe that you will give me strength because of the resurrection. I'm humbling myself and I need you. Would you do that? And by the way, moms and dads and grandmas and neighbors and step relatives or step neighbors, I don't know, whatever your title is. Did you know what? They need you to be followers of Jesus if they're going to be able to follow you too. It's hard to lead people where you're not taking them. It's hard to point, you know, guide people. Now, you don't have to be perfect, but you do have to be headed in generally the right direction. So we follow them, and when we follow them in this way, we can follow Jesus, and in following Jesus, they can follow us. And then the third thing is, if you're going to be a blessing, you need to hold them. And that means, it's really interesting, this passage. He says, and he took them in his arms. I appreciated Danny's comments last week when he said Jesus didn't just pray this kind of random, like, get a big group of kids, okay, blessings on all you kids, amen, shalom. Jesus, the impression here is, and he took them in his arms and began blessing them and laying hands on them. You get the idea that Jesus literally took each kid and blessed each kid and prayed for each kid, that he demonstrated affection. And I know that some of you have come out of family cultures that aren't very affectionate. Well, my kids love, they know I love them. I pay the light bill, don't I? Well, that's good, but, you know, that's not a real high watermark there. You know, you're shoot high, bro. But what I'm saying is affection needs to be communicated. And if Jesus is the model of perfect humanity, then we ought to be able to be affectionate too. No matter whether you're a man or a woman, you ought to be able to say, hey, I love you. I care about you. You're important. And we get this idea that he took them up in his arms and began blessing them. And then the last thing, if you are going to be a blessing and you're going to bless these kids and be like Christ, you need to pray for them. You know, the most important thing you're ever going to give your kids is not a college education. should you be able to pay for it? And the most important things you're going to give your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, it's not a big trust fund, or it's not going to be a car, or it's not going to be that they got cute jeans and they got good teeth. Those are all great. Those are fine. The most important thing you're going to give your kids is their relationship with the Lord. Is that somehow out of your impact, you know, that impact that that person made in your life 10 years ago, Carol, or maybe a little longer, okay, or in your life, that person probably didn't even realize it, but the influence that they had on your life that brought you to Jesus is still going on. And here's the amazing thing. It's the one investment that you will make that will last forever. Do you know what you're going to take to heaven with you? The only thing you're going to take is your relationship with God and the relationships with the people that you loved. That's it. The ones that you influenced for Christ. And so you pray for them. You know, you can pray for your kids. Oh, God, I pray they marry the right person. And you should pray that way. But, you know, way more important than that they marry the right person is that they know Jesus. Way more important than whether they you know, they make lots of money and they have a nice car and they have good health is that they know Jesus. Notice what it said. And he began blessing them, laying his hands on them. He began praying about their lives. He was blessing them. You know, I really want to encourage you to be a blessing. This isn't going to happen automatically. We like to think as a culture that we are very kid-friendly, but the evidence shows otherwise. We live in a society that most of the time in our culture, I mean, there's lots of people that want to have kids that can't, but there's lots of people that can have kids that just don't because they don't want those little rat, those little monsters messing up their life. As a matter of fact, think about the last blockbuster Hollywood movie where somebody had to drop off their kids at daycare on their way to pick up their Lamborghini and do that bank heist. I mean, kids are just not a part of the narrative anymore, are they? Because they're not stylish. And I know that there's always exceptions to that rule, but man, this is our future. This is our present. And Jesus said, except you get this right, you don't get any of it right. And so today I want you to do something. I want you to take that little card you find in front of you. There's a little card there. It's called the Next Step card. And this, I know some of you are like, I'm not filling out anything. You never know what those people are going to do. This is a trick. This is a gimmick. You know, look, would you fill out at least one and tell me how it's a gimmick? Because I'd kind of like to know. This is just a simple way you can communicate with us so we can pray for you and we can help you and maybe help your kids or help you in some way or give you information. So put your name on it. And then there's some very specifics to this talk today before we go that I want you to think about as responses on this card. So look at that one in that little box. It says, pray I can remove all that hinders my children from meeting Jesus. So maybe you have an area of your life you're really struggling with and you just want us to pray for you. Well, we'll do that. You can give us information or you can not. You can just, you know, but we will try and help you if we can. Number two, pray I become a blessing to the children in my life through living, that's really important, through giving and praying. And by the way, I would just encourage you, be a giver. You know, that's the thing that we're going to take with us. You know, he says, store up for yourself treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust corrupt nor thieves break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also. So I would just tell you, to be a giver, invest in them and in their walk with God and their knowing God. And, you know, there's all kinds of ways to give. And this is such a great investment. I believe actually giving is the easiest way to serve kids is, you know, it doesn't require you to go to camp with them to send them to camp. Matter of fact, some of you are going to send kids to camp just so you can get a break. I know how you are. And thirdly, I commit to help children come to church and attend camps. And so you're going to help them. Maybe you're going to go. Maybe you're going to be a worker. Maybe you're going to work in the kitchen or you're going to do that or work in Awanas. I believe today that Jesus sees me and will save me. And you might be here today and, you know, you've hurt, been to church a little bit, kind of like I was, but you've never really realized that God has been seeking you a long time before you ever even thought about him. He loves you. He sent his son to die for you. And you are finally at a point in your life where you realize, you know what, if your kids are going to follow you, you need to follow him. And so you need to turn your life over to him and trust him. And this is the day you need to do that. This, you say, well, this is a crazy way for this to happen that my kids brought me. Well, that's kind of what Jesus talked about. And then last but not least, it says, I want to be baptized as soon as possible. You say, why'd you put that in there? It doesn't really fit. Well, I'm a Baptist. That's one reason. The other reason is next Sunday after this service, we have a bunch of people scheduled to be baptized in the Calas. Yeah, they're going to not be drinking the weak sauce on that day. And so the Calas is really fun. If you've never been, if you are a Christian, if you've given your life to Jesus today, or you have never been baptized as a believer, truly after you trusted him, you need to be baptized. And a lot of people want to do it outdoors because it's out in creation. It's beautiful. And I'm excited. The guy that's one of the guys that's getting baptized next week, Zach, he said, man, what a perfect weekend to do it on Freedom Weekend. I said, yeah, it's great. It's awesome. Of course, I didn't tell him I was wearing waders. But it's really great. And the thing about getting baptized in the Calas, sister, you will never forget it. It's brisk, but it's great. And so it's beautiful. And we'll go from here afterward. We'll go right down to the boat launch in Toledo, and it'll be great. So fill that card out. And I'm going to have Britton come, and he's going to play this song. It's really a prayer. It's a beautiful prayer. And it's really for us. Because a lot of you may feel like, oh, my family's been a mess. And family I came from was a mess. And, man, how do I don't even know where to start. You know where you start? You start with yourself. You know the great thing is every single great family started with a moment where a mom or a dad or a grandpa or a grandma turned from the hindrances, turned from being hindrances to the gospel into being blessings that brought kids to Jesus. And the generation, not all of them, but began to turn around. And you can look at the histories of families and say, you know what? I think if you look at this, somebody must have came to Jesus and started to really live for him. And then it all began to break the other direction. So this is that day for you. Today's the day. Now's the accepted time to be saved, to give your life to him, to break for good.